ways of life and how things work. But a fool is out of touch with reality and how things work. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I'm referring to two basic fundamental facts about reality that you'll find in the book of Proverbs. In fact, you'll find them all throughout the Bible, but especially in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs speaks of God as creator. God is the creator of the world and everything in it. And we find that God has created the world with a certain spiritual and moral order to it. That means that if we try to live any other way than according to God's order, we will suffer the consequences. There's a certain reality. God has created the world. In spite of what a high school biologist teacher might say, in spite of what one of our professors would say at the university, God created the world and everything in it, and He created it with a certain spiritual and moral order to it, meaning that if we try to live life any other way against the grain of that, we will suffer the consequences. That's a reality that we must see and can only see by it being revealed to us from God through His Word. But then there's another reality. God has created this world with a certain spiritual and moral order to it, but at the same time, due to sin, there is a brokenness in this world. Now, it would be helpful for those who are younger to listen very closely to this, because you grow up in church, and we don't mean for this to happen, but it does happen. You grow up in the church world, and you assume that because you do the right thing, that things will always turn out the way you expect them to. Young people brought up in church will just kind of, it's not because they're taught this. They just kind of think, okay, I got it. I'll do good. And I can expect everything to work out for me. And then when it doesn't happen, then you're like, what's up, God? What's going on here? See, the fact is, God created this world. But the world that we see right now is not His doing. It is due to our sin, our rebellion. And it has brought brokenness in this world. And though we may do right and good things may accompany that, we also find that when we do the right thing, sometimes things don't turn out the way we expect them to. And in the book of Proverbs, God speaks to that so that we can live life with reality. We can be a wise person. You're a fool if you think that every time you do good, everything's just going to turn out the way you expect it to. Only a simple-minded fool will live that way. Because they're out of touch with the fundamental realities of the world and the way it works. So again, the wise person is one who sees the realities of life through the eyes of God, while the fool is seriously out of touch with reality. Now, the book of Proverbs introduces us to a variety of types of fools. Not all fools are the same. When you read the book of Proverbs, you find distinctions of fools. And one of those distinctions is the simple. That's who I want to focus on this morning. The simple. And we're going to ask this. What does it mean to be simple? Then we'll look at the danger of being simple. And finally, the cure for the simple. But first, what does it mean to be simple? Did you notice in our text, woman wisdom. I tell you, if you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to have some questions. We read the text this morning. If you're sitting there just kind of asleep and you're not with it, you need to wake up. Because something important was said here. God is saying, wisdom is crying in the streets. Did you notice? Wisdom cries in the streets, in the markets, in the noisy streets, at the entrance of the city gate. She speaks. And she says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? First off, it's not a good idea to be simple. But the fact is, I was born simple. Did you know I was born a fool? So are you. How do I know that? From the book of Proverbs, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Every child born in sin, born in the brokenness, foolishness is bound up in us. We are all born simple-minded. So this is relevant to all of us. The question, what does it mean to be simple? Well, first, let's answer this question. What a woman wisdom, what's that all about? Well, the book of Proverbs is a unique type of literature. It uses a lot of metaphors, and one of them is the metaphor of woman wisdom. Woman wisdom is another way of saying it's a personification of God's wisdom. It's this whole idea of woman wisdom. It stands for God Himself. You could simply say, God is calling out in the streets. But it's giving this imagery of a woman. She's standing in the streets and she's going through the streets and she's hollering out, "How long will you simple people be simple? How long will you love being simple?" She's crying out. She's crying out to the simple. What does it mean to be simple? Well, in Proverbs 14, we get a hint. Proverbs 14 and 15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Now, that one verse alone gives us a window into what it means to be simple. A simple-minded person believes everything. Now, what does that mean? It means that they have a difficult time discerning between good ideas and bad ideas. If you were to read chapter 1, if you would just take chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, you find a father crying out to his son, "When wicked people entice you, don't go with them." You see, a simple person will just believe everything. Whatever comes down the pipe, they have a difficulty distinguishing between it's a bad idea to go with them, and between it's a good idea that I stay away from them. Simple people just have a difficult time discerning between good ideas and bad ideas. They lack critical thinking. God is telling us in His Word that simple people lack the ability to make critical thinking. In other words, you need to make judgments. You need to go, that's bad, that's okay. That's a little suspicious, that's okay. You need to be able to make those kind of distinctions. The simple are contrasted with the prudent. The prudent are those who carefully consider a situation before rushing into it. They stop and think about it for a while. They're careful to think it through. But the fool, the simple fool, just rushes right in. Why? Because they believe everything. They're easily led. They're easily influenced. The simple are unsure of who they are. Listen to me closely. Especially you, my young friends. We were born simple fools. And we're looking, in our brokenness, we're looking for identity. And we're unsure of who we are. And we're devastated when anybody criticizes us. Simple people are devastated by criticism. Therefore, they long for the approval of other people. And that's dangerous. When you live your life desperately looking for identity in people and their approval, and you can't stand criticism, you'll find yourself doing things for people that you shouldn't be doing. Making some bad decisions because you lack critical thinking and you lack identity and you're unsure of who you are and you're devastated by criticism and you want people to approve of you. That's why that there are some synonyms for the simple. Synonyms like gullible. You ever heard people say, "Gosh, he's so gullible. He'll believe anything." That's a simple-minded person. Naive. Oh, they're so naive. I thought this was interesting. The Hebrew word from which we get our English word simple comes from an expression meaning an open door. I remember hearing John MacArthur years ago preach on a text about the simple-minded, probably 25, 30 years ago now, speaking to university students. And he brought up the fact that the word simple comes from that Hebrew expression meaning an open door. It means this. It's the image of a person who does not know when to shut their mind to that which is false or impure. They've got this door that just stays open and everything comes in. If the impure, the insane, the stupid, the ignorant, everything just because the door is just wide open. And we need a mechanism to close that door. But the simple have an open door and they believe everything. But then the book of Proverbs gives us some insight to the danger of being simple. It is dangerous to be simple. It's not funny. It's not funny for a person to remain a simple-minded person. In Proverbs 1:32, we read it, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." Now, if you followed along when we read, the imagery is beautiful. Remember, it's woman wisdom calling out. She's calling out and she's saying, "How long will you remain simple? How long are you going to remain gullible and naive and have an open door in your mind where all the garbage falls in? How long are you going to do that?" Then her recommendation is, "Turn to me. Turn to me. Turn to wisdom. Turn to me." But then, later it says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away." The imagery in that text is wisdom is saying, turn in, take the exit here, turn into me, turn into wisdom. But instead, they turned away and it led to destruction. Look at the imagery. It's further in Proverbs 9. This is beautiful. Look at this. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. And here's what she says. Listen to this. It's very simple. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Now, see the imagery? Woman wisdom. Say, hey, exit here. Get away from the danger. Get in here and live. Be a wise person. Turn in here. But then there's another voice. Mom and Dad, before we look at this, there's another voice. Mom and Dad, there are voices in this world. It's not only the voice of woman wisdom. There's also woman folly. Look at these next verses in that same chapter. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. I want you to see the danger there. Woman wisdom is saying, if you'll turn in here, if you'll come into the house of wisdom, if you'll build your life on the foundation of the fear of the Lord, if you'll hear the word of God and let Him open your eyes to the realities of life, and you'll live your life in the will of God, turn in here and you'll live. But if you turn away, there's another voice. The voice of woman folly, the woman foolish. And she's waiting. As you drive by and you're 15, you're 18, you're 21, and you're driving by in life, and I'm just simply saying you're going your way. She's there. And it says, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive, but she knows nothing. And then she says, whoever's simple, whoever lacks critical thinking, whoever's gullible, whoever's naive, whoever believes everything, just come right in here. You see, there's life in the house of the wise, but in the house of folly, look at it. Proverbs 9:18. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Proverbs 22, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. But that is just a simple picture of this. It's the person who's going down the highway of life, And they have turned away from the way of wisdom. And they hear the voice of folly, who is seductive and loud. It says, hey, if you're simple, turn in here. And they do. But they don't know that the dead are there. Their guests are in the depths of Sheol. They don't know. They don't see the danger that is awaiting them. So what do we do? What do we do? We're born simple. Woman wisdom is calling in the streets, in the market. Wisdom is calling out to us, the personification of God. God is saying to us in these verses, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. And so the question is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us fools? And there is. So let's look at the cure for the simple. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 19 and 7, and this ought to thrill your heart. Look at what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Brothers and sisters, you know what that verse is saying to us? It is saying this. The word of God is sufficient to make wise the simple. The Bible, the word of God, the word of God reveals God's will to us and it transforms the lives of people. God's word, for those who will hear it, for those who will do it, it is sufficient to make wise the simple. God's word can, let's put it another way, God's word can shut the door of our mind. See, we live in a world that have an open mind, have a little bit more open mind about that. Oh yeah, that's wisdom. That's not wisdom, that's woman folly. Have an open mind about things. And it's interesting. God wants to come and close some doors. I just want to ask this morning, I just wonder how many dangerous doors might be open this morning. See, I've been pastoring here now a little over 20 years, and I can safely say that on what I might consider a frequent occasion, I'm made aware of some dangerous door that's been left open in someone's life. It may be, you know, it may be an affair. It may be pornography. You see, I don't live, and you shouldn't either, I don't live with the assumption that just because people come to church, that everything is good between them and Jesus. I don't live with the assumption that everybody who comes to church has got it all together and they're loving Jesus and they're loving His Word and they're walking faithfully with Christ. See, that's why I say, could it be that there are some here today with a dangerous door open? That God wants to close. That God in His sufficiency, He wants to send His word and heal you before you blow it. Before you do so much damage. Before you step squarely into danger, God wants to come with His word and heal you and make wise the simple. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Can I just say the obvious? This is God's Word. You may have got up this morning thinking, I want to hear from God. I just want to hear from God. You're hearing from God now. When I read the Scripture in the morning, I'm hearing from God. God is speaking. I want to hear God speak. Open the Word of God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, that the man of God, the woman of God, that's a general term, may be competent, equipped for every good work. Another passage that we've looked at over the last few weeks, important to what we're saying. Jesus said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I don't assume for a moment that everyone who comes to church actually does what Jesus said. See, you're here today and you're hearing it. You're hearing the Word of God. But did you know this? Jesus said, there are those who hear it and do it, and they're wise. They're like a person who's built upon a foundation of rock. And though all the troubles come, they'll stand because they're built upon a rock. But there are people who will hear it and never do it. See, you may be saying, and I hope you are, how can I be a wise person? How can I do this? Well, let me start this way. When you read and study the Scriptures, you are hearing Jesus speak. When you read and study the Scriptures, you are hearing Jesus speak by His Spirit. Let me put it another way. When you hear the Scriptures preached and taught, you are hearing Jesus speak. And He said, if you hear my word and you do it, you will be wise. But if you hear it and do not do it, you will be like a fool who builds upon a bad foundation. Let me ask you a quick question. Seriously, what kind of attention are you giving to God's word to transform your life? Seriously. Really, I mean, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, not asking you to do any confession to me, that sort of thing. But I am seriously asking you, what kind of attention are you giving to the Word of God to transform your life? And if you're sitting here right now and you're saying, it hasn't been good, or maybe I'm not giving any attention at all, it's not too late to develop a habit of giving attention to it. It's not too late. Up until now, it may be a mess, okay? But it's not too late. See, the problem is for many of us, we have bad habits. We have some bad habits that we need to push out and get rid of and replace them with good habits. Because it's the bad habits, quite often, that's keeping us from the good habits. And can I plead with you, brothers and sisters, those of you who call Christ Lord, those of you who say, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, I'm pleading with you, give attention to God's Word that it may transform your life and allow it to make wise the simple. Because to be quite honest with you, there are many simple-minded Christians in the church who have a door that's left open. And one day they're hearing this, and one day they're hearing this, and then they're hearing this, and they're hearing this, and they haven't learned how to be critical in their thinking. And that's why they so often are so confused about what they believe. They have no idea what they believe. Because there's many people in the church who are still very simple-minded in their thinking and in their theology. I plead with you, the cure is the Word of God that is able to make wise the simple. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Brother Van, I'm just going to be honest with you. right now I hear you. Right now I hear you, and I want that. I know I need it. I know I need to give more attention to God's Word. I know I need to do that. And right now you feel that. Right now you feel like I need to do it. But you know that the track record so far has been you feel that now, but then you get into the week and you get into the habit of the week. And then it's like this last thing you're thinking of. Or, God forbid that you're sitting here today and you're not paying a lick of attention. And you're like, preacher, I don't care how long you talk about reading the Bible and giving attention to God's Word. I'm just not into it. Can I say this to you? When we give an invitation in just a few moments, you ought to be the first person who gets out of their seat and comes to the front and get on your knees and say, God, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And cry out to God and say, God, incline my heart to your Word. If you'll get serious about that, God will meet you. It's not too late. You may have blown it up till now, but it's not too late to get a new habit and to cry out to God and say, God, I want to cherish your Word like I used to. I want to delight in your Word like I used to. I want to love your Word. I want to hear it. I want to do it like I used to. Can I leave you with a story? One of my favorite stories. I'd tell this story every week if I could. But Ravi Zacharias was ministering in Vietnam in 1971, before the end of the Vietnam War. He had a translator, an interpreter by the name of Hein Pham. He was a young, energetic Christian, young guy, you know, on fire for Jesus. When the meetings were over and Ravi got on the plane to go back home, he and Hein departed and wasn't sure that he'd ever hear or see Hein again. But he did get a telephone call some years later. In fact, 17 years later after they parted, he got a phone call. He said, Brother Ravi, and he told this story. Shortly after Vietnam fell, Hein was imprisoned on accusations of helping the Americans. His jailers tried to indoctrinate him against democratic ideals and the Christian faith. He was restricted to communist propaganda in French and Vietnamese, and it began to take its toll. Maybe, he thought, maybe I've been lied to. Maybe God does not exist after all. Maybe the West has deceived me. So Hein determined that day that when he awakened, he would not pray anymore or think of his faith anymore. In other words, he was done with Christianity. However, the next morning he was assigned the dreaded chore of cleaning the prison latrines. As he cleaned out a tin can overflowing with toilet paper, his eye caught what seemed to be English printed on a piece of paper. He hurriedly grabbed it, washed it, and after his roommates had retired that night, he retrieved the paper and read the words, Romans chapter 8. Trembling, he began to read. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. For I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hein wept. He knew his Bible and knew that there was not a more relevant passage for one on the verge of surrender. He cried out to God, asking forgiveness, for this was to have been the first day that he would not pray. Evidently, God had other plans. What his tormentors were using for refuse, the Scriptures, could not be more treasured to Hein. Hein then asked the commander of the prison camp if he could clean the latrines regularly. But because he discovered that some official was using the Bible as toilet paper. Each day, Hein picked up a portion of Scripture, cleaned it off, and added it to his collection of nightly reading. I don't need to explain that to you, do I? The day came when, through an equally providential set of circumstances, Hein was released from prison. He promptly began to make plans to leave the country and to construct a boat for the escape of him and 53 others. All was going according to plan until days before their departure. 4 Viet Cong knocked on Hine's door and said that they had heard of his escape. He denied it and they left. Hine felt relieved, but at the same time disappointed with himself. He made a promise to God, fervently hoping that God would not take him up on it, that if the Viet Cong returned, he would tell them the truth. He was thoroughly shaken when only a few hours before they were set sail, the 4 men did return. When questioned again, Hine confessed the truth. And to Hine's astonishment, the men leaned forward and in hushed tones asked if they could go with him. In an utterly incredible escape plan, all 58 of them find themselves on the high seas, suddenly engulfed by a violent storm. Hine cried out to God, "Did you bring us here to die?" He said to me, "Brother Ravi, if it were not for the sailing ability of those 4 Viet Cong, we would have not made it." They arrived safely in Thailand, and years later, Hine arrived on American soil, where today he is a businessman. I've heard that story many times, and I've thought, I have a Bible in front of me with no excrement on it. And Hine volunteered for a task that none of us would want, so that he could go in and get pieces of the beloved Scripture and clean them of human excrement, so that he could hide away at night and read the Word of God that makes wise the simple. My brothers and sisters, for those of you who know Christ, hear him and obey him and be wise. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, come to Jesus and let him make you a wise man or wise woman. Let's bow our heads.